Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, we want to be in your presence, Lord. We want to be in your presence. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. As we come to our service time where we're about to have our speaker get up and speak to us, we just want to make sure that we come into a place where we can not only, we've already invited Jesus to come in here, but we want to invite him to come into our hearts today. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, praise God, it can happen today in this place. Praise God. But to be able to do that, sometimes we lose focus so easily, especially our young people. We lose focus so easily. Even our adults, we go into the stores. We live in a world that's so crazy and so full of distractions. Amen. So if I could have everyone in here right now, just as peacefully and as quietly as you can, just close your eyes with me. Praise God. Because we want to block out all the distractions. We want to give our 100% focus to Jesus right now. And when we have our eyes open, we look around and we see different things and all the colors and things in here. And we don't want to be distracted by these things because, Jesus, we love you. And we want to give you our 100% focus right now, Lord. God, we love you so much, Lord God. And we thank you for what you're doing in this place, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Our second step is just to lift our faces up to Jesus. Let's lift our faces, every one of us, because the Bible says that you were fearfully and wonderfully created in God's, hallelujah, by God, amen. So God wants to look down and he wants to see that beautiful face that he created. See, you think that it was by accident that you looked as beautiful as you do, but God said, it's no accident. I created you. I'm the artist, and I made you special. And there may be a time in your life where it may seem awkward because your feet get big and your hands get big and your voice starts to change, but you know what? You're in a process. We're all in the process, and God is making something beautiful out of you. And when he looks down right now, he wants to see that beautiful face. So if we could keep our eyes closed, if we could lift our face to Jesus right now, and it's okay to smile at him right now and just give him a smile. Praise God. And as we're smiling, let's lift both our hands to him because he is the God of heaven. The Bible says that he created us before we were ever in this world. He knew you. He created you. He had your name picked out. You were so special to him. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we lift our hands to Jesus right now as a form of just giving him a big hug and surrendering to him and saying, Jesus, I want you to come into my heart today. I want you to minister to my life today, God. You mean everything to me, Jesus. I don't want anything to come between us, Lord. I want to lift my heart to you. I want to lift my hands to you. I want to let my everything come to you, Lord God, because I'm running in this life of sin and craziness, Lord. I don't want anything to do with that. I want to run to you, Lord God, into your precious arms. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And our last step and our fourth step of worship is just to praise him. Hallelujah. And he is worthy of the praise. Amen. Let's lift our voice. Let's use your playground voice. And let's start to worship him. And let's start to tell him how much you love him. Hallelujah. If you got the Holy Ghost right now, let's speak in tongues. Let's worship him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, you're worthy, God. You're worthy, God. You're worthy, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's here. Amen. Do you feel his presence? He's here. Hallelujah, Jesus. At this time, we're going to ask Sister Nicole to come up. And let's keep that wonderful presence of the Lord in here. Praise God. Praise God.
So part of my object lesson, Gate went crashing down to the ground. But that's all right. It happens. But Brittany saved it with, Rick's going to go grab it with another piece of paper. So that's all right. I was more worried about my spider than I was the picture frame. So I'm excited to see all of these new faces, these new kids here, stories that I hear about on Tuesday night from Rick and my parents, and then all of the ones we already know. It's exciting to see you here. So the title of my message this morning is Be Beautiful Me, or You, God's Masterpiece, and Me. We're all beautiful. And in Psalms 139, 13, and 14, For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. I don't know about you, but when I read this, I think that God's saying that his work, so in other words, you, what he created, is marvelous. You're marvelous. Not the sun, the moon, the earth, everything else that he did out there, which is pretty fantastic. But you are marvelous. So I want to tell you a little story. That's why I have my spider here, because how many of you guys like spiders? Of course, I think, what, probably all boys. So I debated on, got a couple girls in there. I debated on bringing Grant's tarantula, which is a lot bigger than this, that Uncle James so nicely got him, and it's a remote control, and he likes to scare his sisters with it. But I thought it was too scary, so we got a cute one here. How many of you guys know the story, the song, the Incy Wincy Spider? Can you guys help me sing it this morning right now? All right. Okay. Get your fingers ready. Okay. Ready? The Incy Wincy Spider went up the water spout. Down came the rain and washed the spider out. Out came the sun and dried up all the rain. And the Incy Wincy Spider went up the spout again. That's a fun song, isn't it? So I renamed her, and she is Incy Wincy. Incy Wincy. So not Itsy Bitsy. Rick kept telling me this morning, it's Itsy Bitsy, honey. And I said, no, it's Incy Wincy. Because I changed her name. So Incy Wincy, she wanted to go up the water spout again. She'd been other places, you know, she'd climbed Mount Everest. She'd been on top of the Empire State Building, but this particular day, she was going to conquer the water spout. So she started to climb the water spout, and then a trickle of rain came. She thought, whatever, I'll just keep going. So she kept climbing up the water spout, and then more rain. So Incy Wincy did not finish her water spout adventure. She got down, she fell down, and after she hit really hard on the concrete, she looked up, and there was a reporter, and they were laughing at her. Who are you? What did you do that for? What's wrong with you? Get up, move it. So Incy Wincy went home. She went to sleep, and she woke up the next morning, and in her paper, she was excited, actually. She was going to, the sun was out, she was going to try to go for that water spout again. But then she looked at her paper, and right on the front of the paper, it said, World's Top Climber Fails at an Endeavor. Slippery Spout Spooks a Spider. She was devastated. And you know what she did? She didn't go and try to conquer that spout because those words hurt her really, really bad and made her feel terrible. But you know what? She had a little friend called a ladybug. And her ladybug friend came over and she said, Incy Wincy, what is your problem? You've climbed Mount Everest. You've climbed the Empire State Building. Oh, wait. Let's see. What else have you done? Oh, you walked across the Great Wall of China. What's your problem? And you've conquered the human bed. Just kidding. Sorry, parents. The fear tonight. she looked at her and she said, "You know what, Ladybug? I think I'm going to try this again." And Ladybug said, "I'm going to be down there and I'm going to cheer you on. I'm going to be your cheerleader. We're going to get you to the top of that spout." So Eensy Weensy went out and she looked at that spout. She looked up at the sky. She looked at that spout and she looked at Ladybug. And Ladybug said, "You can do it. You're good. You can do it. You're a strong spider. You can climb that water spout." And Eensy Weensy thought, "I don't know. The sun's not out. The clouds are kind of gray. What if a rainstorm comes again and I get wiped out again? I'm never going to come out of my house ever." But Eensy Weensy, one step at a time, and with the encouragement of Ladybug, she made it up the spout. And what she saw around her was pretty fantastic. She could see the lake. She could see the trees. She could see all the little people running around on the ground. She was so excited. And she looked at Ladybug down at the bottom and she said, "Thank you. You made me do what I didn't want to do." What happened to Eensy Weensy? Why didn't she want to climb the spout? You can answer. She was scared. She was really scared. What made her not climb the spout? There's more. Do we know there? What happened? What did the reporter say to her? They talked bad about her, didn't they? They said some not very nice things about her. And then she kind of got discouraged. And that's kind of what happens sometimes with us. The words we speak to children are going to stand out their entire life. The words we speak to each other will either knock someone down or you will pick them up. Did you know our words are not only verbal, but they're also in our actions, in our attitudes, in our facial expressions, the way that we walk away from our children when they need us? Our children, no matter who they are, they strive, they want, they desire the approval of a parent. They strive for the approval of their teachers. They strive for the approval of God. And the only way that these children are going to get that approval, the only way they're going to have that confidence in who they are and know that they are beautiful is through your words and through what you speak into their lives. You know, I oftentimes would think, you know, Mackenzie, all of you guys know Mackenzie. She's a very, I use this word in a proud way, because it's not a bad word, it's a very good word. She is my strong-willed child. Actually, all three of my children are strong-willed. I can't deny that. We got two parents that are. What do you kind of expect out of that one? But she's confident in who she is. And if I build her up and not tear her down, she's going to be the best that she can be. And I oftentimes would think, okay, well, whatever. She's independent. She knows she's independent. She's got the confidence. She's strong-willed. She's going to go get it. She's going to take the world by the horns. And I didn't tell her enough that she was confident, that she was strong-willed. The word was a negative word, and it's not. And so now, as a parent, I'm looking at that saying, I have to redo this. I need to build her up. I need to build all of my children up. I need to build my husband up. I need to build myself up for my children. There is a story of a young lady growing up, and everything that she did was never right. She never fit in with her friends. You know, she kind of got C's and B's. That's about the best she could do. Nobody liked her, really. They kind of put up with her. She started to feel like, you know what? I'm just not good enough. Everybody wants me to be like my sister. Everybody wants me to be like Gracie over there that's sitting there. And she grew up and she walked away from everybody and everything. And she ended up very, very depressed. In a very low, low place that only God can take a child out of once they have created, been put into that spot. Did you know that $62.4 billion is spent in the cosmetic industry in 1 year in the United States only. $12.9 billion a year in plastic and cosmetic surgery. $549 a year is spent on self-help books a year. And this is all in the United States. 75%, and this number blew me away, 75% of girls have low self-esteem. 20% of teens will be diagnosed with depression in their teen years. 40% of boys worry about increasing their muscle mass, and 6% of those boys will engage in using steroids while they are in high school. 7 in 10 girls do not feel good enough in their relationship with their friends, their school, and their family. The piece of that was with the family, to not feel good or feel confident in your relationship with your family. That grabbed me. That grabbed my heart. Because you know what? The Bible is very clear in Deuteronomy 6, the role of the family in the ministry of God. And without the family, the church cannot survive. So that really grabbed me, that we need to work on that negative thinking. We need to keep them safe. We've got to help them become what God has called them to be. We've got to encourage them. We've got to tell them that they're beautiful. I had on that picture frame a lot of words that to me are beautiful. Joy, curly hair, freckles, dark skin, light skin, a quiet person, a chubby person, a skinny person, a guy with muscles, a guy that's lanky. Because, I had a conversation this weekend with somebody, and, you know, some guys just don't have any muscle. They just don't. They're just skinny. And some are very, very built. And the same thing with women. Some of us are super duper skinny, and some of us just are not. But that doesn't make you unattractive. Meek, elegant, straight hair, modest, holy, full of joy, kind, smart. Maybe you're just average. I'm average. Blue eyes, green eyes. The list could go on and on. And I added in scars. I added that in there. And Madison said, why scars? Scars are beautiful. Scars tell a story. When God has changed you and you look back at that scar, you look back at what happened, it tells your story. It tells you who you are. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctify thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So before you were even thought of by your parents, before you were even in their mind that I wanted a child, God had already said, I'm going to create a one of a kind. I'm going to create an Olivia that's going to go and change the world for me. I'm going to create a Margaret that's going to touch somebody's life. I'm going to create a Jason that's going to go out and conquer everything. He's going to preach the word. I'm going to create a Jessica that's going to touch people. He made sure every piece, he placed it all together in a little mixing bowl. Is that how it works? No, it doesn't. But he created it. Every little thing that he put into you, he did on purpose. And then he, not only did he create you, but he had also created you with a purpose. He knew what he wanted you to do. He knew what he wanted you to become. He knew your potential. You are special. You were carefully thought out by God. And there is no one else in this world like you. You are not just everybody else. You have a unique personality. You have a unique look, a unique laugh. Some of us are super smart, and some of us are just smart, and some of us are just average. And I never say dumb, because there's not a dumb person ever. So we are either, we're, that is important. Each of you were created with a God-given purpose. Parents, you're raising a missionary. You're raising an evangelist. You're raising a prayer warrior. You're raising a Sunday school teacher. You are raising the next generation, this generation of Pentecostal children that are going to reach this world. And we cannot sit back and ignore that fact. When your child comes to you and says, "Mom, God has called me to be an evangelist." "Oh, that's great, son." No. You grab that son, you put your hand on his head, and you pray God's favor over him. You pray God's favor. You pray his anointing into that child. You have got to grab a hold of this to get these children where you want them to be. The things that we say to them, the things that we say to ourselves, our kids see that. If we stand in the mirror every morning, I was kind of doing some research on what beauty is and what it's not. And I was watching a Dove commercial, and they took some women, but a mother and a daughter, and they had both of them at the same time sit down and write down things they don't like about themselves. When they came out and they compared lists, mom and daughter had the same list. You have a 30-year-old daughter and a 6-7-year-old daughter with the same lists. "I don't like my thighs. I don't like my hair. Why am I fat?" You know, I look at these things, and same thing with our boys. Dads, we got to show them what strength is. It's okay to cry. It's okay to show compassion. It's okay to be a gentleman, because that's what God was to us. When you talk to them and they come home with that paper in hand and there's a D on it, don't look at them and say, "Really, a D? Are you that dumb? It's not rocket science, seriously." Or if you continue this way in class, you're not going to amount to anything. No college is going to want you. You're going to be nothing. You're going to be at home. Seriously, did you miss that ball? How'd you miss that? It was like magnetized to your glove and it like missed you. You cost the entire team the state champions. You know, all those things really dig into their head. Instead, speak words of affirmation. "Oh, wow, a D? Not sure I was expecting that. But, you know, you're a smart kid. Let's figure out what we can do differently to bring this up to a C." Or, "Hey, great job out there. Hey, you missed that ball, but that's okay. You guys did a great job. You made it to the state champions. You're awesome. That's pretty amazing." All of these words, we can either tear our child down immediately or we can build them up. And it takes 70 words of something good to say to a child after you've said one negative word to them. Show your child how to be joyful. Be a happy parent. It's not easy to be a happy parent sometimes because you do get frustrated. We've all seen that meme of, I don't know, it's probably from some movie, I don't know, but they look pretty haggard and worn, and they've got their war clothes on, and they're laying on the couch, and they're just like, "Oh." And it says, "Every parent at bedtime." Yeah. Bedtime's probably the worst for every parent. Or even just through the day, the things that you deal with. But we don't want our kids to see that. And I share this story. I was sitting in the car, and I was a little overwhelmed, a little frustrated. And we were driving home, and Mackenzie had made a comment. She said, "Oh, just out of the blue, Mom, you're a superhero." I put the brakes on. I pulled over. I was like, "Say that again." Just kidding. I didn't. I should have recorded her saying it, though. But I was really taken back by that. Like, really? I don't really feel like a superhero right now. I feel like a drowned rat just trying to make it from minute to minute as a mom. And then Grant piped up from the back and he said, "Well, I want to be a superhero too." And Mackenzie looked at him and she said, "Well, do you take care of your kids? Do you go to school and work too? Do you help with children's ministry? Do you love your kids with everything that you have?" about that, and I thought, you know what, I do a lot, but to have my kids notice that, because I don't complain about it. You just do it. You do it because it's what you're supposed to do. And to have your child say to you, Mom, you're a superhero. Those are words that we even need, kids. Your parents need to know that. They need to know that. At first I thought, you know, about the negative piece of some of this. Did I complain too much sometimes about being a mom? Do I complain about taking care of my home? Do I complain about children's ministry? Do I complain about being a wife? So it really made me check why she noticed all of those things. Encourage your children. Let them know that they're beautiful on the inside and the outside. Write notes on their mirrors when they wake up. You're beautiful. You're smart. I love you to the moon and back. You're amazing. You're brilliant. Put a note in their lunchbox. Find somewhere in their notebook and just write it when they're in class and they see you're smart. I love you. You can do it. You've got this. Don't write on a banana because your banana will be bruised when they pull it out. I've done this to my kids and my husband. And I did it many times to my husband until my kids said, Mom, I can't eat that banana because you wrote on it. Because it comes out very bruised. Ephesians 1:4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So again, I've said this many times, you are chosen. You are a creation. You are his masterpiece. And I share a story that was shared with Rick and I at a conference one year, this year actually. And some of you have heard this story when Rick shared it. But there was a young man, he was sitting at the table, and the leaders had been encouraged, instead of going and sitting as a group, to actually sit amongst the kids and get to know them. Who are they? What do they do? What do they know? And so one of these leaders, he sat down, he was actually the guest speaker, and he sat down with one of the young men, and he said, what are you going to do with your life? And he looked at him. What do you mean, what am I going to do with my life? Nobody's ever asked me that question. He was 18 years old, getting ready to graduate from high school. Nobody had asked him what he was going to do with his life. And he said, you know, I really haven't thought about it till now. But you know what? I think I'm going to go to Bible school. And I think that I'm going to make something in my life, and I'm going to be something that God has called me to be. And this young man kept in contact with this minister, and he ended up getting sick, and he almost died. And of course, this minister thought, well, what's going on here, God? But he came out of it. This young man, he survived, he got married, he has children, and he's actively involved in the ministry because somebody simply sat down with him and said, what are you doing with your life? And got to know him. He spoke into his life, and he helped him through each of these situations because of that simple, just the simple words that we can speak to each other. So I want to encourage you this morning, as Rick comes back up here, to really focus on how you can encourage somebody. How can you encourage your children? How can you bring them up to serve God and to be the best they can? Remember that child sitting next to you on the way home that, yes, we all scream at, and we're rubbernecking while we're trying to drive, yelling at them to stop pinching their sister, or, you know, or they stomp off because you told them to clean their room or that they couldn't go somewhere. That is a missionary. That's an evangelist. It's a Sunday school teacher. It's a prayer warrior. That is your pastor, possibly in the future. I'm sure Brother and Sister Grant probably didn't think that too much with Roy. Just kidding. But it's true. I say that in joking because Pastor has shared a lot of his stories with us growing up. But if we can know that when we talk to them and when we pray for them every single day, it really does help us to get through the day-to-day and to know that God has given you a mission, too, with your children.
Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. If we could all stand right now. Praise God. You know, Sister Nicole's message is so true and so dear, and it's so close to home because our words are so powerful. The words that we speak, there is power in the spoken word. I remember so clearly one time as Sister Nicole was talking about this, is one time we were having at home an intense moment of fellowship. And I remember thinking to myself how I could possibly react to some words that were going back and forth. But instead, I went up to Sister Nicole and I took her by the hand and I just started to tell her how beautiful she was and how wonderful she was and how much she meant to me. And I saw her face literally melt. Because when you're being told positive words, you cannot hold back. You can just see the building up. Praise God. And I think about in the Bible, there's a story about a lady who was caught in the middle of sin. And she was drug out and cast before Jesus. And they were told they wanted Jesus to condemn her. They wanted Jesus to destroy her, tear her down. What are you going to say about that, Lord? We just caught her in the very act of sin. She's disgusting. She's putrid. She's horrible. You know what, Jesus? He said, the first one of you that is perfect, let him come up here and cast the first stone at her. And the Bible tells us that Jesus went down on his knees and he started to write something in the sand. And we don't know what he was writing, but I can only imagine today as she sat there with the guilt, with the shame of what she had done. She was bearing it. She was totally caught. She felt horrible. The Bible says that Jesus got down and began to write. I can only imagine. You're beautiful. I love you. You mean something to me. You are special to me. My daughter shares stories of these young girls who are hurting at school, who are taking sharp objects and they're scratching into their arms. Words. Painful words. They're hearing these words from the generation today. But church, here today, Jesus is here. And he has beautiful words for you. He wants you to know how much he loves you. He loves you so much that he said, I want you to come and live with me. He wants you to come to his castle. He wants you to come, but we're so dirty. We carry the dirt, the burden of the sin of this world. How can we go, Lord? How can we go into your presence? And God is so wonderful and so merciful, church, that the Bible says that he made a way. He says, I will clean you. I will clean you this day. But you say to yourself, but there's nothing that's going to take away the dirt that I've done. You don't know the things that I've done. You don't know the places that I've been. Lord, there is nothing that can clean me. And Jesus is here today, church, to say, oh, yes, there is. Oh, yes, there is. I have something special that is very good at cleaning. I have my own blood. If you say to yourself, the blood, how is blood going to clean? Well, see, the blood covers. Jesus' blood covers all of the dirty, nasty, disgusting. Jesus' blood covers and makes it where we can come into his presence, where we can come and be in the presence of the King, where we can go with him, hallelujah, where we can forsake the things of this world. Praise God. If you're here today and you've never been clean, the Bible says that we can come into Jesus' presence. We can repent of our sins. That means turning away. We can live a life that is righteous and pleasing to God. You say, how do I do that? Well, see, the Bible tells us that Jesus has given us power, extreme power. He will come inside your heart. He will live inside your heart and help you to walk a life that is pleasing to him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want you to come to this altar right now. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, today is your day. God wants to wash you with his precious blood. He wants to lift you up. He wants you to know how beautiful you are. Come on up here right now. Let's pray. Let's seek the Lord together. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't let the words of the enemy, don't let them fool you into thinking that there is no hope. There is hope for you. God loves you. He loves you so much that he paid the price for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's reach out to him right now. Open yourself to him. Expose yourself to him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. He will heal your wounded.